All right. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Julie Fedorchak. I am chairman of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We're excited to be here today for the public testimony, public meeting on the MDU rate increase proposal, gas rate increase proposal. I don't have any opening comments other than I'm excited. I hope we have a good amount of folks from the public who are here to testify. I know the company has a set of slides and a presentation to give. We're doing this distance style to accommodate as many people as possible from the comfort of their homes, and also to continue to maintain some social distancing, especially with, I know utilities have some stricter guidelines for their employees and travel and public meetings. So appreciate our staff's ability to pull this together from a virtual standpoint. I'll now welcome my colleague, Randy Christman, to provide opening comments, and we'll kick it over to the portfolio holder after that to lead the show.
Thank you. I don't have any opening comments except for looking forward to the information from the company as well, but particularly looking forward to if anybody is tuned in and getting some public input into the case. So always look forward to that, and today's no exception.
Awesome. Thanks, Randy. Okay, Commissioner Crotchis, the show is yours.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, everyone. A special welcome to members of the public who are listening in. As mentioned, this is a rate increase proposal that MDU has brought forth to the commission. And just a little bit of background on that before I turn it over to the company to provide some information on why they believe the request is warranted. This is a mechanism that the company can exercise at their discretion. They can bring a rate case in front of the commission. We can also call a company in for a rate case, but they're typically initiated by the company themselves. And in this case, MDU brought this before the commission for evaluation. What's going to happen as a part of this, MDU will lay out their case in a general sense to the public so you have a better understanding of why they are seeking a rate increase. And then following that, we will enter into the public input portion of it. So I don't think the presentation will take that terribly long, but then we'll get into the public input portion. I look forward to that, hearing from members of the public. Just one point of clarification. It's not a question and answer session in terms of having the public call in, but we do want to hear your thoughts. So with that, I believe Travis Jacobson. Mr. Jacobson, are you going to present today?
Thank you, Commissioner Crotchis. Commissioners, yes, thanks for the opportunity to be a part of your public input session. And today I'll do a presentation along with Ron Amon. And Ron helped us, he assisted us with the rate design and cost of service components. And he will present then after I get my portion done. So with that, if possible, if I could share my screen.
Yeah, and Travis, while you're bringing your screen up, or while we are bringing your screen up, just so I have this correct for members of the public, Matt, they call in to the number and then we will call them back?
Correct. Our preference would be for them to call the number and get on the list for callback.
Okay, and that number is, I believe it's posted, and they can view that for those who are listening in. The number is 328-4081, and one more time, that is 328-4081, area code 701. Please call in if you would like to provide input, and again, we look forward to that, and then Matt, our IT person, will call you back at the appropriate time after the presentation. Is that correct, Matt?
Correct.
Okay, thank you, and thank you, Travis. You can start.
Okay, thanks, Commissioner. Again, Ron and I will just do a short presentation. And our agenda today, we're just going to give a little overview of MDU Resources. We usually get a lot of questions on that. Then of the case itself, and then we'll switch to Ron and he'll talk about the proposed price increase as well as some bill comparisons. So as some may or may not be aware, Montana Dakota is part of the overall MDU Resources group of companies. And that company, the MDU Resources, is pretty broad. There are really three main lines of business, if you will. The first being the regulated, which is where Montana Dakota falls. And we are regulated by state and federal commissions. And that encompasses Montana Dakota, Great Plains, both of which are subject in this particular proceeding, as well as Cascade and Intermountain. And those are more on the West Coast. Then we have WBI Energy, which is a transmission and pipeline company. And finally, we have the non-regulated portion, which is MDU Construction Services and Knife River Company. And they do construction services and materials. And they do operate in North Dakota as well. To break down the utilities group a little bit more, I mentioned that we cover in four different utilities under four different brands. They're all under a common governance. And Nicole Cavisto, who is in Bismarck, is the president and CEO of all of the utilities. And we cover eight states and serve a little over 1.1 million customers. And we provide both natural gas and electric service in several of those states. And to get it down now to our North Dakota operations, we serve approximately 115,000 customers, and the vast majority, about 99,000, are residential customers in 75 communities across our state. We have 518 employees that service both gas and electric service in North Dakota across our service territory. So within that, our operations, we deliver natural gas to our customers, and it's similar to a cable or a telephone company. We own and operate the gas pipelines that take natural gas delivered to the communities, to each customer's home or business. We maintain the system to ensure safe and reliable service, and it's essentially a fixed cost of doing the business of providing that natural gas service to the home. We try to purchase natural gas in the most economical way, direct purchases from over 20 different suppliers, including gas that's produced in North Dakota and processed in North Dakota. We utilize storage when pricing is advantageous, and that results in generally lower prices over the long term when we're able to buy a little cheaper gas in the summer. Now, I just point out that we generally do not own transmission pipeline between the communities. We have a service that we purchase from a pipeline company, and then we do not produce or have processing plants that deal with natural gas production. Now, to get into a little bit more on the rate case itself, as Commissioner Crosius had indicated, the company filed an application in August of 2020. The request for about $9 million of an annual increase in revenue, and that equated to 7.8% overall increase. I mentioned Great Plains, and in Great Plains, we serve the community of Wahpeton, North Dakota, and we are proposing to include Wahpeton in North Dakota's just general gas rates. Wahpeton is just one town, whereas we have 74 other communities in North Dakota. And to streamline that process, we're proposing to roll those in. And I would note that in February of 2021, we did provide some testimony where we lowered our initial increased request from 9 million to 7.7, and that brought our overall increase down to 6.7%. And when Ron talks about the impacts to customers, he will be using the updated information that I just mentioned right here. Commissioner Crosius talked about the reasons that we file. The main reason that we filed is because of an increase in our investment, which is really additions to plant and service, largely pipelines. Now, natural gas distribution is heavily influenced by the amount of pipe that we put in the ground. And as we add pipe to the ground, we incur additional operating expenses in the form of depreciation and the operations and maintenance of that pipe. This is about $65 million more than the last time that the commission reviewed our rates. It is primarily to replace aging infrastructure and to enhance reliability of the system. And now just a little clarity on Montana Dakota's rates. Montana Dakota's rates is really comprised of two separate components. The first is the cost of gas, and the second is distribution rates. So specifically regarding the cost of gas, Montana Dakota updates our cost of gas on a monthly basis. And we do that so that we can pass on the prices that we pay for natural gas on a dollar for dollar basis. The cost of gas is directly passed through. There is no earnings on our cost of gas. And we purchase our gas from at market prices throughout the area. And I mentioned we use storage and other kind of hedges to help us keep the price as low as we possibly can. That gas is then transported on the interstate pipeline systems to each of the communities we serve. And that is the cost of gas component. And again, that is something that we true up every month and change rates. The second component are the distribution costs. And that is the subject of our input meeting today. And on that, anytime we want to change our distribution prices, we have to come to the commission and request approval from the commission. And the distribution costs are the cost of operating and maintaining the distribution system. I mentioned safety requirements. So the replacement of aging pipeline would fall in there as well. It covers the cost of our metering, billing, and our customer service as a few examples. And I talked about the safety of our system. Starting in 2017, we began a more focused approach to the replacement of pipelines within the state of North Dakota. And we continue to do that. And this is an illustration of the system and what we have in terms of miles of pipe, et cetera. So we have just under 3,000 miles of distribution pipe that goes to about 116,000 different services throughout North Dakota. Approximately 25% of our system was installed before 1970. So the focus of our system safety and integrity plan is to really focus on that 25%. Our system undergoes testing, whether that's leak surveys, whether it's actually looking at the pipe itself, and then replacement is done on a risk basis. And we look at the entire system within North Dakota. And this system safety and integrity plan then really drives to get the most risky pipe out of the ground as quickly as we can. And I mentioned we began in 2017. Between 2017 and 19, we replaced about $11 million. And we have an additional $43 million to ensure the system safety and reliability that we have planned for 2020 through 2024. So again, it's a significant dollar amount, and it's a significant time frame that we have to replace that pipe. And with that, I know I'm rolling through really quickly, but we don't want to take up a lot of time, so I'm going to turn it over to Ron, and he'll talk about the price increase. Ron?
Thank you, Travis. This slide you see in front of you is the proposed increases by customer class. And as you can see, the largest percentage increase is shown there at 11.1%. The revenues collected from this class currently are less than the cost to provide utility service to the residential customers, whereas the revenues collected from the larger customer classes are currently greater than the cost to serve them. However, rather than recommend a rate decrease for these customers in the larger groups, the company felt that it was important to request that all classes contribute to the overall revenue increase, which you see at the bottom there is 6.7%. This slide here shows the updated residential prices for the Montana Dakota customers. The current service charge is depicted there as 68.6 cents. On an average monthly basis, the basic service charge would be $20.80, depending on the number of days in the billing period. The proposed basic service charge per day is shown to the right, 86.82, which would be an average monthly basic service charge of $26.39, again, depending on the number of days in the billing period. The cost of gas is also shown here. It's the component of the monthly bill that actually does vary with usage, and that is $3.98.4. And then depicted in the figure below, you see the relationship between the basic service charge and the cost of gas. So it amounts to, for the residential customers, a proposed monthly increase of about $5.54. Shown here is the updated proposed residential bill changes. This is depicted for an average residential customer using 88 decatherms per year. The average increase per month, again, is shown to the far right, which averages to be $5.54, depending on the number of days for that particular bill, or $66.47 per year. This is an increase of 11.06% from the current price. So shown here, similar to the earlier slide, these are the updated residential prices for the Great Plains service territory. And it shows a typical, the current and proposed rates were transitioning from a $3.50 per month basic service charge to the proposed service charge of 25 cents rather per day, which provides an average monthly basic service charge of $7.60. The increase to the basic service charge is about $4.10 per month. This recovers a portion of the fixed costs of providing gas distribution service to the Great Plains residential customers. The change to the distribution charge is to a single charge of 96.1 cents per decatherm for all usage, as opposed to the two-stage charge that's currently in place. The average increase, as shown here, per month for a Great Plains residential customer is $3.60. And you can see that also in the figure below. The updated proposed residential bill changes for a Great Plains customer, residential customer, is shown here for a customer using 80 decatherms per year. The average increase per month will be $3.66, or about $43.87 per year. This is an increase of 9.3% from the current price. Because the revenue increase to the basic service charge, the monthly bill increase, even in the winter months, is limited to less than $4. This next slide shows an annual bill impact by customer for the Montana Dakota residential customers. And there's a few points that I'd like to make with regard to this particular chart. The chart provides a side-by-side comparison of the bill impacts to both residential customers and residential low-income customers from collecting the proposed revenue increase in a usage-based delivery charge versus the proposed increase that is being added to the basic service charge. The bars on this chart show percentages of residential customers at different levels of bill impact amounts across the range of residential annual usage. The gray bars indicate low-income residential customers that's identified by those customers that receive LIHEAP bill assistance. Currently, that's about 2,700 customers. The blue bars represent the remaining residential customer group. The first comment I'd like to make is that the chart addresses a common perception of low-income customers, which is that they tend to be low-use customers as well. The usage patterns of low-income customers are actually very similar to those of the rest of the residential class. Second, in order to illustrate the bill impacts under this no basic service charge increase scenario, if you look at the bars to the right of the tallest set of bars, over 69% of the residential annual bill increases, which includes about 34% of low income customers, or about 920 customers, those bill increases would be larger than $80 under an increase being placed in a volumetric delivery charge. 7%, or about 190 of the annual low income bill increases, would exceed $120, whereas only about 10% of the annual low income bill increases would be less than $40, which is the bars to the left, the two sets of the smaller bars. By comparison, all residential customers will experience the $66.47 annual bill increase under the company's proposed basic service charge. Because the costs of providing utility service to all residential customers do not vary with usage, adding the proposed revenue increase to the basic service charge is a fair distribution of the revenue increase across the residential class. Finally, under the proposed basic service charge increase, customers will be protected from high monthly bills during the winter months when usage is the highest. This particular slide shows the updated residential total bill over the last 10 years for Montana Dakota utility residential customers. A typical customer here, again, would be using 88 decatherms annually. And you can see the breakdown here of the bills between the basic service charge, a distribution charge, which was a present in 2011, and then the cost of gas. In a 2015 general rate case, the company proposed to move to strictly a monthly or daily basic service charge, and that you see beginning in 2016. Here we see an updated residential total bill over the last 10 years for Great Plains customers. Again, with the breakdown of the bars being the basic service charge in blue, the distribution charge in orange, and the cost of gas in gray. You can see certainly a dramatic decrease from 2011 to 2016 in the cost of gas. And the rest of the bill has been remaining fairly level over the course of time. Here you see for a low use, typical use, and high use. In other words, low use is defined here as 30 decatherms. Typical use being the average residential customer for MDU at 88 decatherms, and high use being someone in the 200 decatherm range. And it's the bars change color as you move from 2011 to 2016 to the current green bar, and then the company's proposed red bar. Finally, here we see the typical low, typical, and high use historical total bill comparison for the Great Plains natural gas customers. And again, low use being here defined as 29 decatherms, typical is being defined as 80, and high use being defined as 160 decatherms. And of course, again, the bars change color as you move forward in time.
Thank you, Ron. Commissioner Crosius, once again, thanks for the opportunity to present. And we are done with our presentation. Thank you.
All right, thank you as well. For members of the public, it's a lot of information to digest. And but I think, you know, if I'm an average residential customer, typical residential customer, obviously I see that it's increasing, and then our job as a commission is to balance the safety and reliability aspect, in particular with cost of service. So that's just one of the elements that we'll be evaluating going forward. But with that said, I think Commissioner Crisman, Chair Fedorchak, did you have anything to add before we open the lines up?
I do not.
Nor do I.
Okay, and Matt, do we have individuals who may have called in?
Yep, we currently have one individual on the call list.
Okay, can you call them at this time, please?
Yep. We'll be dialing Howard Burns.
And again, for members of the public, can they see that if they're watching the video right now, the number I would
correct.
Would assume?
It's on the broadcast.
For anyone that may not see the video of the commission room and the phone number, it's 701-328-4081. Again, 701-328-4081. Please call the commission and we will get you in the queue and call you back.
Howard Burns speaking.
Hello, this is the Public Service Commission calling you for public input.
Okay, go ahead.
Yep.
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Oh. This is the Public Service Commission calling you for public input.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Okay, good afternoon, Howard. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it, and would love to hear your thoughts.
Okay, first of all, can you hear me okay?
Yes, can hear you very well.
Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Howard Burns, Sr. I live in Bismarck, North Dakota. I want to thank the North Dakota Public Service Commission and its commissioners for giving me an opportunity to express my opinion on the proposed Montana-Dakota Utilities request for a natural gas rate increase. As I understand it, MDU has filed a gas rate case seeking an 8% increase. The overall effect of this rate increase will force residential users, in reality, to pay almost 13% more. It appears that MDU is seeking the rate increase to make residential customers bear most of this increase. It goes without saying that this is unfair to the residential customers. The MDU rate increase would raise its natural gas fixed customer charge by $6 per month from $20.58 to $26.93. MDU's fixed monthly customer charge is already the highest in our region when compared to other investor-owned natural gas utilities. This charge should be rolled back, not increased. Let's see, according to the information I have, MDU's proposed rate would be $26.93 in the closest one to us is Black Hills, Wyoming, which has a $20 rate. So that's quite a substantial difference between us and the next closest rate compared to the MDU rate for that charge. Well, enough of statistics and numbers. Let's look how this rate increase would affect myself and other people in my age group. I am 76 years old. I am retired and receive Social Security benefits and a pension from working in the city and county government fields for 32 years. From my Social Security and pension benefits, I pay for food, clothing, shelter, and other necessary expenses, which, of course, natural gas and electricity are part of those necessary expenses. There are no replacements or substitutes. I cannot choose or make any changes to those essential services or needs. Basically, that means I must absorb all increases or rate adjustments in these essential needs or services. There are no other choices or alternatives, once again. My Social Security or pension have not been increased or gone up to allow me to keep up with increases in essential living expenses, and in this case, utility services on a continual basis. Therefore, the results are my standard of living and my quality of life is lowered or reduced. In other words, I must make do or adjust to these increases the best I can. Once again, there are no other choices or alternatives for me and many more people in my age group or financial situation. In summary, I feel if I'm being asked to make do or adjust to these rate increases being proposed, Montana-Dakota Utilities should be asked to do the same. I am confident that with their professional staff of business administrators, accountants, attorneys, and employees, they can become more efficient and innovative in finding ways to cut or reduce operating and supply costs. Sometimes that may require or make it necessary to cut or reduce in some areas, instead of running to the Public Service Commission every time you need or want something. I respectively ask the Public Service Commission to deny this natural rate increase as requested by Montana Dakota Utilities. At the minimum, deny the request for the rate increase until more substantial facts and reasons are detailed to the Public Service Commission that justify such a substantial rate increase to residential gas users. Thank you. That concludes my statement.
All right. Thank you very much, Howard. Can I ask you a quick question, if you don't mind? And that
really?
Is, have you been in a situation where you've, to save money, had to turn the thermostat down, so to speak?
Well, my wife and I have been trying, like I think many other people, due to the current situation we're in, and many other people find themselves in with the pandemic and all that in stuff. We normally keep our heat at the lowest possible level we can to keep our utility expenses down. And we make very sure that we turn it way down when we go to bed, and then we keep it, for example, we keep it about 65, 66 during the daytime and turn it down to about 64 in the morning hours. We have a regular thermostat. We don't have one of those, you know, scheduled thermostats. Same with electricity in the summer. We try to conserve as much as we can and keep it at a reasonable level. And, you know, I will say this about MDU. They have very reliable service. And, you know, I understand, you know, some of the problems they're going through. And I understand some of their investment problems and their shareholders and all that. But from my statement, really, it affects our quality of life every time one of these essential services go up, because we're on fixed incomes. We don't get rate increases. We don't get big additions to our Social Security or to our pensions. We're forced to live on that and make do. And I appreciate you letting me give my opinion today, gentlemen, and the lady on the commission there.
All right. Thank you very much, Howard. I don't have any other questions for you.
Howard, this is Julie Fedorchak. I'll follow up. Thank you with another question. I want to echo our appreciation for you taking time to provide some thoughtful testimony and your personal experience and how this would impact you. Definitely understand the challenges of making ends meet on a fixed income and the impact that utilities have to that end. So know that we are going to be looking at this very carefully and making sure that what the company is proposing in terms of additional investments are things that work to maintain the reliability, which we all, I think, share as a number one priority, probably only superseded by safety, making sure that, you know, the system that leads up to everybody's individual house and can cause severe damage if it does have a defect, making sure that that system is safe by at all costs. So that's those are our two priorities. I wanted to ask you, were you listening to the company's presentation? Did you see the slides?
Yes, I did.
So you saw the charts where the company laid out the impact of a, if we were to take whatever rate increase is determined to be necessary, and that we, in this case, it was just what was proposed by the company, the 7.8%, and apply that entirely to a volumetric charge, that you saw the impact that would have. And I'm just curious what your thoughts were on that.
Well, from the presentation that was given prior to when he took public input, like I said previously, I understand that a company has to make a profit. I mean, there's no question about that. But I think the thing that I find frustrating and I don't totally understand is they make no effort to try to be innovative, to look at new ways of doing things, to get better at doing what they're doing. I mean, they take the philosophy that, well, if whatever we need, we just go to the Public Service Commission, ask for a rate increase, we can justify it. And, you know, you have to give it to them or they won't supply the service. That's kind of how I view some of the utilities. And I'm not saying it's just MDU. It's even other utilities. They just don't try to become more efficient, you know. They drive the best vehicles, they have the best equipment and everything, and I know they need that, but sometimes you just got to make do like what a lot of people are asked to do now, and that is to get by or to make do.
I can appreciate that, and those are issues that we'll be digging into when we look more closely at the rate case as a whole. But if I might just take one more stab at the whole, the way they design their rates, which is, and this is something that the AARP has taken issue with, and is, I'm assuming that's where you kind of got brought into this rate case, which I appreciate them being involved in and being a voice for customers. So that's a good thing. They take issue with this whole idea of having a basic service charge and a bulk of the cost to provide service captured through that versus a volumetric charge. We've gone towards the service charge in recent years here because we think it's more fair, and actually helps customers more than penalizing customers. And the company provided a chart that showed the impacts that it would this rate case would have on customers if you captured all the revenue through a volumetric charge, which is basically a charge to you for how much you use. And those are some of the presentations provided. So I was just curious if you had any thoughts on those two issues, the volumetric charge, which is based on usage, versus the basic service charge. And the challenge with the volumetric charge can be that the folks who don't have the most weatherized homes or the most efficient homes can end up spending a lot more than those customers who do have higher, you know, higher efficiency homes. So thoughts on that, Howard, if you have any.
Well, you know, I won't pretend to say I know all about how their rate structure works and all. I get the bill. I analyze it. I understand, I think, the basics of it. But, you know, every time a rate increase is proposed, it seems like we want to go to the residential people. And from the presentation, I see that the residential customers are the biggest group, so therefore they yield the biggest amount of increase. So definitely we want to, you know, they're going to want to anyway, put that on that group. But I really take issue with, and I have a problem, when they let the commercial people go by completely scot-free. I don't think that's the way you should do it. I think it should be spread evenly among all users, whether they're big, small, or otherwise. We all share in this, and we're all in it together, and I think that's the way that the rate system should be set up and used. To single out or to try to get a bigger increase because a group is a larger number of customers, I don't think is fair to the people and a good business practice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, and that's another issue we'll be digging into during the rate case, so stay tuned to see how things settle
okay,
out
I
on
appreciate
that.
You let me voice
There's
my
one
opinion
more.
Once again.
Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
There's another one. We've got Randy to my right who's also may have questions for you.
Well, okay, Mr. Burns, I just want to thank you for what seemed like prepared and thoughtful comments, or else you're just a very good talker. But I think you've really captured a lot of the sentiments that I read into some of the written comments that we've received recently, but they're all the more meaningful when someone articulates them and puts themselves up for questions. And so I don't have any specific questions for you, but I want to thank you for a very good testimony.
Okay, not that it makes any difference, but to be honest with you, I didn't even start on even getting any idea of wanting to even testify in this until this morning when I received an email from the AARP. I prepared this in the last couple hours. I wanted to make sure that my thoughts, which I've heard from other people, get to the commission, and you take that into consideration when you make your decision.
You did a nice job. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And once again, thank you for letting me give my opinion, and I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Matt, do we have anyone else in the queue?
Nobody on the callback list, no.
Okay, again, if anyone from the public is watching or listening and listening in, if you call our number, 701-328-4081, we would welcome any input you might provide.
Hey, we have one new one, Josh Asvig with AARP.
Did somebody say it was?
Would you like me to go ahead and dial him?
Okay.
This is Josh.
Hello, Josh. This is the Public Service Commission calling you for your public input.
Cool. I'm ready.
All right. Commissioner?
All right. Good afternoon, Josh. Please share your thoughts.
Hi, Commissioners. First of all, Josh Asvig, AARP North Dakota. I'll be brief. I just wanted to quickly thank you for doing the public input hearing and thank the previous speaker for his comments and thank the company for their presentation. I did want to just make sure folks that are watching or listening know if they're not speaking up. I know a number of them have sent, and if you're not aware, Commissioners, have sent messages into the file based on the public comments that you've done. And so I wanted to make sure to point out that I know a number of folks have weighed in on this. And then just to, since we were brought up, just mention the fact that we have intervened in the case. We'll be making our case and certainly addressing some of the points the company has made in the formal hearing when it comes up. And I guess it's 13 days if my math is correct. So appreciate you taking the time. Looking forward to doing listening again tonight. But I did just want to point out, if you weren't aware, that there are a number of emails, or there should be, based on what we have seen and understood in the public file as well, generated where you asked them to be directed. So,
okay, well, thank you very much. And yes, we're aware of the emails and the phone calls that have been placed to the commission, and we've been updated by our communications director. She's done an excellent job keeping us informed of those individuals that have reached out. So we certainly appreciate their input.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. I'm giving you a thumbs up, but you can't see it through the screen because I'm not connected that way. I'm so used to being connected that way. So appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
Okay, Matt, do we have anyone else?
Nope, that's it on the callback list.
From a procedural standpoint, I think we'll leave the lines open for a little bit. But from a procedural standpoint, we have it listed from noon to 1:30.
In the past, we have given it maybe a set amount of time and then decided that that was sufficient, but we can do it however we'd like this time. You guys have thoughts? What other number? The general
number that we do have the public listening bridge.
Do we want are there people out there?
We got a couple numbers just listening in. Do we want to give them a...
Sure. Yeah,
absolutely. Let's give them an opportunity if they would...
Those of you listening on the public bridge, please dial *9 to give us a virtual hand raise if you wish to speak. Seeing none.
I think we should at least give it until 1 o'clock.
Seems like a good idea.
See if we get anyone else who might want to call
that
in.
Makes sense.
And the one thing we should change, we should probably, well, not probably, let's change for the 5:30, if we can change that from public testimony to public input, just to be more specific so people don't get the wrong idea.
I should also mention that I will not be here for the 5:30 one. I'm on my way to Jamestown for the first WDA game tonight. So I will try to call in, but I may not be able to do that either. So you guys might be on your own for the second round.
For any members of the public that are listening, again, if you do wish to speak, as Matt indicated, dial *9. We'll see that you are interested in providing input, and we will be able to do that. But just as a point of clarification as well, again, this is a public input. I can promise that based on the presentation from MDU, we all have questions, but this is not the format for us to ask those questions. That will come in a couple of weeks when we actually have the hearing, and that is when the company's on the hot seat, so to speak, mm-hmm. And that's where we dig into that. So this is the public input venue, and it helps the commissioners formulate different thoughts about the rate case. So it's very, very valuable to hear from you. And it was mentioned as well, again, for those who may be listening, we do have another public input session on this case at 5:30 today. That will be from 5:30 to 7. If you have attempted and unsuccessfully to provide input during this session, we have another one coming up at 5:30. And I would... encourage you to contact us between now and then if you've had any challenges trying to get through at our number here, which is 328-2400, and we will walk you through it or take your number that way, and we can call you during the later session, or if you wanted to call that number now, we're going to keep lines open for about another 5 minutes.
Jameson. Yeah, they're really good. So they might have been, although it might have been Bismarck. I think Bismarck may have been WDA champs last year. But Jameson was right up there. Right. This is the regional tournament. Yeah. They're playing it in the first two rounds are played at the, usually it's all at the Civic Center. But because of COVID, for some reason, they thought it was better to have all these games in small gyms spread around rather than the gigantic facility where everybody could spread out. I guess this was decided a long time ago. So we're all traveling to various gyms across the state or across the region to have these games. Yeah, the top seed of the matchup hosts. So we go to Jamestown's home court. I'm not a fan. I think it gives them a huge advantage, first of all. And I don't see that it does anything to decrease the chances of COVID spreading because we'll be in much smaller facilities. But anyway, that's how it does it. That's how they do it this year. So... Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to follow science. Oh yeah, science. That's right.
That's how Sean won the Jilly contest.
The science. The science of boiling hot dogs and what did he call it? Hot dog. Not condensed, but reduced hot dog, water. Yep. And sugar, it was really delicious chili. Even after knowing that. Yeah. Yeah, it was hot. Oh, good. His eyes are open though. Oh, it's got to be heartbreaking to see your kid with all that stuff.
We have one more member of the public at the call, Gloria Schneider.
Hello.
Hello, is this Gloria?
Uh-huh.
Hello, this is the Public Service Commission calling you for your public input.
Yes. Now, what do they want to raise it? 12%?
Excuse me.
For MDU?
I believe it is. Is it 6.7 with the updated numbers? Does that sound right, Victor?
Uh-huh. And what is the reason?
The company gave a presentation earlier. What they are indicating the reason is, I think a lot of it goes to the distribution network. It's aging in their system, mm-hmm. and they have some significant replacement proposals that they've put forth in front of the commission. Victor, and I'm saying Victor, you can't see Victor on the screen if you're watching, but Victor, would that be in part the bulk of it, or what else would you add?
Yeah.
Or should we ask Travis?
I think it would be best if Travis would want to kind of give just a quick recap of the drivers behind the rate case.
Okay, Gloria, Travis Jacobson is with MDU. He's going to give a quick outline of the proposal to you.
Okay, perfect.
Good afternoon, Gloria. Travis Jacobson of Montana, Dakota. And
I can't hear you very well.
I'm sorry, were you going to say something, Gloria?
Oh, no, I can't hear you very well. I can't hear you very well at all.
Okay, I'll try to talk slow and loud, if that'll work.
Yeah, that's better. Uh-huh.
The primary driver in this case is largely related to our continued investment in the safe and reliable system and the replacement of pipes. We have about 25% of our system that is installed prior to 1970, and a lot of those pipes were installed even as early as the 30s and possibly even the 20s. So we're doing a lot of replacement on pipe. And as you do that, other costs increase as well. So the primary driver is the increase in our system and the cost to provide safe and reliable service. So I hope that answers your question, Gloria.
Yes, it did. But I just think 12% is pretty high, you know, especially for like people like me. I don't have a large, you know, amount of money coming in.
Gloria, are you working? Are you retired?
I am on disability.
You are on disability?
Mm-hmm.
And where do you live, Gloria?
1207 North Mandan Street. But my MDU bill has raised, already. It seems to have been, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had the balance billing, and I can't remember how much it was. I know it was higher I suppose, too, because of the cold weather. It didn't help it, but I just think 12% is a lot of money. I mean, 12% times all of the people that you're raising it, up to how many people, or how much money does that come to? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So fair to say you, and I think you expressed this, Gloria, you are on a fixed income, and mm-hmm. you know, we had public input earlier. Just out of curiosity, and you don't have to share this if you don't want, but what is the mm-hmm. typical temperature you keep your thermostat set at?
Generally at about 72.
Okay. Do you ever have to curtail that or turn it down to try and save some money?
Well, no, I don't, because I had the balance billing and it was like about $105. Now my last one, excuse me, is $122.
Okay. All right. I don't have any other questions for you myself personally. I don't know if the other commissioners do or if there's anything else you would like to add, Gloria.
No, just that I do not agree with it. And you know, how, I don't know how, you know, you could even divvy it up to people that, you know, make more money and people that don't. I mean, I'm sure you can't really do anything like that, but I just want you to know, you know, 12% is, it's, you know, pretty outrageous, I think.
Okay. No, I totally, completely appreciate your comments, Gloria. Does anyone else have any questions for Gloria?
I don't have any questions, Gloria, but thank you for taking time to call in, and we will be considering the issues you brought forward and many others as we work through this. So appreciate you highlighting those things.
Yes. Well, and hopefully some of my friends will call in. I'm sending out emails and texts. And you guys will be on tonight, too, at 5:30, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. I guess that's all I have.
One more, and I don't have any questions for you, Gloria. I just want to also thank you for expressing your concerns.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Gloria.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Okay, Matt, do we have anyone else that you're aware of at this time?
Not that I'm aware of, no. I'll do one final. Oh. Pamela's doing one final check.
Okay, and I believe Pamela is going to make a quick round to Stacy. And
one more time, if you're listening on the public bridge and would like to give some input, dial *9.
And again, as mentioned, for anyone listening, we will have another session beginning at 5:30 this evening. And you can certainly call and provide input at that time as well. Okay, I don't think we have any other callers in queue, so I think at this point, in my opinion, we can wait until the 5:30 should there be any additional calls that come in. Does that sound fair?
It sounds good. I appreciate that. And so we are, this public input session is concluded, and there'll be another one at from 5:30 till 7? 5:30 to 7. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Thank you, everyone.